What about the blood of Christ, though? It's not going to be on you. Because if the blood of Christ is effectual. When he gets his blood on you and his spirit in you, it's not up to you. It's up to him. It's his salvation. He works it in you. If he didn't drive you to something more than that apathetic, slothful, self-serving kind of salvation that you believe in, if he doesn't drive you out of that into something better, if there isn't something in you that rises up and desires something more than that sluggardly, filthy existence, then you're not being saved. It's not happening. There has to be something driving us. There has to be some sort of change. Even the least desire of change, I have great hope. But if you just think, I believed, I'm fine, why are you bothering me? You know, if you're like that, and I assume anyone listening to this who hasn't, you know, the people who are like that already turned it off. That's the beautiful part. Well, and it's a sad part too, because I would like them to hear it, because I feel like if perchance God would grant them grace and they would repent. When I tell you people like that, I want to warn them because I feel like it's my duty. It's what God gave me to do so that they would be without excuse. You know, the savior of life and the savior of death. I tell you what, I am here to save by the word of God. Well, you're going to save? No, not me. But God, through me, speaks words that can save. And I am also here to kill by the word of God. Because I bring the word of God to people, and it will drive them away. And it will make their death certain. Verse 20, and inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest. Okay, let's just keep reading. He was made priest not without an oath. So inasmuch as that, now comes a parenthesis. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said, the Lord swear and will not repent. Psalm 110. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. A surety is a pledged object. Like, let's say you take out a small loan. And let's say I want something. We call it collateral. Then it was surety. Something to make the debt sure. Well, I'll give you this is my father's ring, or this is my car, or this is something of value, which you give them right to if you default on your payment. Jesus was made that pledged object of a better testament, a better contract or will. He was made priest with an oath. Verse 20 is an odd way. Not without an oath means with an oath. So inasmuch as he was made priest with an oath, by so much was he surety of a better testament. His sacrifice, the Spirit of God, which is the earnest of our inheritance, you know, Jesus Christ is the linchpin. He is the cornerstone of our faith. And it all turns on him. You know what I mean? Just like in that loan, you know, or that God is going to grant us the right to become the sons of God. And the proof, the thing that he pledges on our behalf is Christ, who stands as priest, interceding for us. We have something in hand which gives us confidence of the hope that is set before us. And that is the man Christ, risen from the dead, set down at the right hand of God, making intercession for us, helping us, our prayers in his name being answered. Verse 23, and truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. There were a lot of priesthoods. There were a lot of priests in the Aaronic priesthood. In the priesthood of Aaron, there were many men who became priests, right? Because they died. But this one, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Because he never dies, his priesthood is unchangeable. Wherefore he is able to save them by the... I love this. He is able to save them to the uttermost. They come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He is always there. He is always our surety. He always makes things sure for us. A priest is sort of like that. He is like surety. You know, he's there to accept the sacrifice and pledge it. And what is he the pledge of that forgiveness? He is able to save us to the uttermost. You know, not just, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You will be free for real, not theoretically. But for real, really free. Really free from what? The servant of sin commits sin. Whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. I want to be free from that servitude. The Son will make you free from that servitude. He will save you to the uttermost. Meaning, he doesn't just, well, when you die, I'll save you. No, he saves us even now. So that before we die, we begin to overcome sin. And I wish it was faster. You know, people get on me. They want to say, "Well, Paul, how come you say you're not perfect yet? Well, how can you preach this perfection?" It's like I preach it because it's in the Word. If other men don't and they have given up, then I will not answer for them. I will not even acknowledge them as my brethren because they have cast aside the faith of the Lord. Acknowledge the things that I say are true, and I will say that you are my brother. And I know all my brethren do know the things I say are true. That's how I know them. And that's how they know me, because I testify to what they say, and have testified. If we want to be perfect according to the Scriptures, we have to keep following after those promises. You know, and you say to me, well, why, you know, I would it was faster. And I'm willing completely to blame myself. If it be not